In any case, I thought it appropriate. Originally, I was thinking of doing another class today on women's place in Krishna consciousness, but maybe not on Ekadashi. That's going to be a future class. I have a class on that. What is the gender issues in Krishna consciousness? And stay tuned for that, because it'll be a unique class. I'm not sure when. Next week, I probably won't give it because there won't be many people here. Most people are going to be in New York for the Rath Yatra. And the week after, you have Panihati, and I'll be in New Orleans. We'll see. I'll be back sometime to give it. Okay. First we'll chant Jai Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Nanambanava Girivarukhari Gopi Janambanava Girivarukhari Nandana Raja Janaranda Sodhana Nandana Raja Janaranda Bhunatera Manachate Yamuna te Ramana Chante Jai Urad Mahuva Kunnabhirabhi Jai Urad Madhuva Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhavde Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhavde Raja Janu Ranjana Vasudha Nandana Raja Janu Ranjana Bhuna Chebra Manachyate Yamana Chebra Manachyate Yamana Chebra Kunja Vihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Ostatera Sitashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Avaya Charanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nandagoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai. Rense Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Vakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Ko Bhagavata Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Ki Jai. Churidam Ki Jai. Navadiptam Ki Jai. Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai. Yamadamai Ki Jai. Srimati Glasi Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, Om Aganat, Timiranda Shah, Gananjana, Shilakaya, Chakshura, Meditam, Yena Tasmai, Sri Gurave Namaha. So, as I mentioned, we're going to be speaking about Lord Chaitanya's eight prayers called the Shikshastaka prayers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, who appeared a little over 500 years ago. And he only left us, as far as his direct writings, with these eight prayers that I'm going to present. Of course, he gave instructions to his foremost followers, disciples, such as the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, to elaborate on the philosophy, which he explained to them. However, his personal writing is just these eight verses. And these eight verses pertain, or giving instruction, on the most important aspect of the Hare Krishna movement, which is what? Chanting Hare Krishna. That's why it's called the Hare Krishna movement, because by chanting Hare Krishna, you move forward and advance in spiritual life. And the reason we stress the chanting of Hare Krishna is because Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, that Krishna is 100% in his holy names. So when you're chanting Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Charya ISKCON, explained, it is just like Krishna is dancing on the tip of your tongue. Pretty good. Of course, your tongue is a little moochy, so it's not exactly the same. But he's there. He's non-different from his name. And Krishna is a person, and Krishna has feelings. That may come as a shock to all of you to understand that God has feelings. Because generally, people don't think of God as having feelings, or people can hurt God's feelings, or people can please God. For example, we have one particular individual who hurt God's feelings. His name was Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And God got a little angry at him. Little? No, he got pretty angry. Pretty? No. He got very angry. Very, very angry. And he demolished him, or demolished his body. So Krishna reciprocates. As he says in the Gita, Yaya ta mam prapajante, tam sadaiva bhajamiham. That means basically, as you approach me, you know, I reciprocate with you. So he's a person. So when we chant his holy names, we're communicating, connecting with that person. But, there's a big but, is dependent, the result you get is dependent upon the attitude you have when you're chanting. There is a quality, not just quantity. Of course, today many of the devotees chanted 64 rounds. I'll explain what a round is. A round means there are 108 beads in our bead bag. This is a bead bag. It's not a purse. And for those of you who don't know about Krishna consciousness, and there's 108 beads in this strand of beads, and that, of course, signifies 108 gopis, who are Krishna's most intimate associates, and actually there's eight super principal and one real principal, which is Srimati Radharani. So if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra on each bead, you go around, and that's one round. And you do that 64 times, and that's 64 rounds. That's a lot, isn't it? Of course, there was one devotee, Haridas Thakur, who would chant three times, or 3 lakhs of names a day. A lakh refers to the number of Hare Krishna mantras, not the number of rounds. That would be impossible. So, a lakh means 100,000 for those of you who are from America. So, he would chant, and he's called the Namacharya. Of course, many devotees here chanted 64, but it's not just the quantity of rounds. Perhaps even more important is the quality. Because it's stated that one time you cry out, Krishna, I'm yours, then Krishna takes care of you. But with feeling. So what is that feeling? The feeling is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the mood that we should have when we're chanting? So the Shikshashika prayers are progressive. In other words, you start with the mood that just about everybody can relate to, and then you move up and up and up through the prayers to the eighth prayer, which is a pretty exalted prayer. So in other words, there's a prayer for everybody in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shikshashtika, or a shlok for the folk, a different shlok for every folk. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about these prayers so we can imbibe this proper spirit of chanting the Lord's holy names. And different acharyas or different teachers throughout the ages have commented on these prayers. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is the spiritual master of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, of Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj, who is the spiritual master of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is the spiritual master of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, wrote a very nice book about it, Bhajan Rahasya, and other books about the holy names. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, another great devotee, wrote about these. And in many cases, they attributed each particular verse in the Shikshashtika to a particular level of devotional service, because there are different levels. I'll explain that briefly. In the beginning, when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we just are interested. Basically, that's called adoshrada. There's some initial faith, interest. Belief may be in the Vedic literatures, like many of you come from India. And in India, the Vedic literatures are the literatures, at least if you're from a Hindu family, are the literatures which are considered to have or be descending from the absolute realm. As the statement goes, dhammam tusakshat bhagavat pranitam, that religious principles can only be given by the guy up there. That's Krishna, or God. Can only be given by him. And our business is just to repeat them in our own language, not to invent religious principles, to be like some theologian that you see in every religion, including Hinduism, has these theologians, or what we call munis, M-U-N-I, just so you don't confuse yourself. That means someone who just like has a different opinion. Well, maybe Krishna means this. When Krishna says, think of me, maybe he doesn't mean it. Maybe he means to think of the unborn and beginningless within Krishna, which Krishna never even mentions anyway. So that's called the speculator. We accept God as he describes himself. So the Vedic literatures are there. And these literatures detail the nature of God. And ultimately, They prescribe the worship of God. There's other prescriptions there for those who just can't make it to the topmost prescription. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedais Jasavar Aham Eva Vedyo. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. So that's the purpose of the Vedic literature. The purpose of the Mahabharata, which you just heard, is to know Krishna. The purpose of the Ramayana is to know Ram, who's the same as Krishna. That statement is there, Dvaita, Achyuta, Anadir, Ananta Rupam. All the incarnations of God are the same person, but acting differently in different circumstances. So therefore, in order to know Krishna, you have to introduce yourself to Krishna. Chanting the holy names is a method of introducing yourself to Krishna. And so we're going to start with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prescriptions on chanting the holy names. So I have the word-by-word synonyms after this, and we're not going to go through that because I don't think we're going to have enough time. So I guess, could we all recite this together? I guess a lot of you know this, so. Cheto darpanamarjanam bhava mahadvadi nirvapanam shreya kaira vichandrika vitaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandi buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnam ritaspadanam sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. And so I guess we'll read the translation together too. That's nice. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste the full nectar at every step. So these translations I'm using today are the ones from the Chaitanya Charitamrita given by Srila Prabhupada. These translations go very, very deeply into Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own mood towards the holy name. So there's an esoteric as well as an exoteric meaning to each one of these translations or each one of these particular verses of the Shikshashtaka. So let's start with the first one. The first one, first of all, it describes as a cleansing taking place. And that cleansing is of the heart. Now, we're not talking about the auricles, the ventricles, and this muscle that we have in our body. That's a heart, yes, it is a heart. But within the heart of the living entity, the gross heart, the muscle heart, there is the soul and the super soul. But the soul is encapsulated, it's an interesting word, encapsulation, within a subtle body. The subtle body is the mind, not the brain. Not the brain, remember that. That's a brain. Up here. The mind is here. It might seem strange. The mind is actually here, encapsulating the soul. The subtle body, mind, intelligence, and false ego. False ego means I and mine. That's what we're all, that's our disease in this world. I am important. I am the center. And this is mine. This is my phone. This is my temple. This is my body. This is my friend. This is my money. What else? My car. That's the false ego. So, if you don't want to have a false ego, just give your car to Krishna. Anyway, so that's the subtle body we're talking about. So this subtle body has gotten pretty dirty because it's gone around a few times without a bath. Just like I'll give you an example. I was in a plane flight recently and the guy hadn't taken a bath, I believe, for a week. And I went on a bus a few weeks ago, and they also hadn't taken a bath for a few weeks. And it was very hard for me. So imagine someone who doesn't take a bath for a few billion years. Actually, it's interesting, there was a news report about a man who hadn't taken a bath for 80 years, and his skin was like a rock. You couldn't tell the difference between him and the rock. So, did anyone see that news report? No. Interesting. So, anyway, so we've been, in this world, our sojourn, taking birth after birth in this material world, and we haven't really cleansed ourselves of the influence of karnam, guna, sangasya, sadasa, janma, jonisu, of the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And it's covering everything. Every time we touch something, every time we eat food, we see something, we hear music, we go somewhere, we taste something, that mode of nature covers us. And we have these subtle remembrances from all these past lives. And in addition, for those of you who want to know, we believe in reincarnation. Okay, reincarnation means life after life. Just like sometimes an expert hypnotist will hypnotize you and say, who were you in your last life? And then you'll start to bark like a dog. Or meow like a cat. Or swim in the ocean. Whatever. So you... Because all the impressions we've had are there in the subtle body, and they've really confused us, contaminated us, kept us from seeing what reality is. It's like every once in a while I have to clean the glasses, because either there's condensation on them or dirt or something like that, so I can see the deities and I can see things clearly. So the chanting of the holy names cleanses this mirror of the heart. The example given here is the mirror, because in a mirror you can see yourself. Right now we can't see ourselves. We look in the mirror and we see, I'm white, black, Indian, male, female. You're not seeing yourself. No. All you're seeing is some photons, sorry. Or whatever, the photons that hit your eyeball and give you a certain impression like that. You're not seeing yourself. You're not even seeing the reality of this material world. So the chanting, how does the chanting cleanse the mirror of the mind? The chanting cleanses because Krishna cleanses. Because if something is really dirty, you can't clean it yourself. Like Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, stated that if we try to cleanse the mirror of the mind or our hearts by ourselves without Krishna's help, it's like cleaning a piece of coal. Imagine you take a piece of coal, you put it in your washing machine, or you put it in your sink, and you just scrub it with some Brillo pads or something. What happens? You get dirty, and the piece of coal doesn't get any cleaner. So that's how many times we've been in there in this material world. So it's necessary to chant to evoke Krishna's pleasure, and Krishna dancing in our hearts does the cleansing for us. It's Krishna that does the cleansing, not ourselves, because we can't cleanse our hearts. I mean, if anyone's tried, let's say you have one of the impediments in devotional services really bothering you, lust, anger, greed, these are called the anarthas. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, all these wonderful things. And you try to get rid of it. Let's say you're addicted to a particular substance. Let's say you're addicted to alcohol, you're addicted to sugar. I mean, so many different addictions. Actually, they have different organizations now for addictions, right? Alcohol Anonymous, Sugar Anonymous, Chanting Hare Krishna Anonymous, you know. All these different anonymous organizations. Anyway, so, because people are addicted, and you try to get rid of it, you can't. It's always there, you know, lurking in the background. So that's why the chanting is effective. We need Krishna in order to do that. And the interesting thing about the chanting, you think, well, I'm chanting just to cleanse my heart. Well, I've got news for you. The chanting is the what we call the sadhana, and it's also the sajja. That after you finish cleansing the heart, guess what? You stop chanting? Does anyone know? You chant more. Why? Because you have a taste for chanting. That's the point. Because what happens, the more you chant, the more you realize your spiritual identity. You have a real identity of one of five different types in the spiritual world. You're a lover of God of one of the different five different types. If you're a passive lover, you're an active lover, that means a servant, or you're the friend of God. Imagine that. You can actually play volleyball with God. Sorry, cricket. Excuse me. I'm too much in American culture now, so Krishna West. So you can imagine all that rugby maybe. So you can play with God. Be his friend, be his buddy. But like Arjuna. Put your eyes, you know, lay on the same bed with him and joke with him. Isn't that nice? Or you can be the parent of Krishna like Yashodamai, Nanda Maharaj, or lover of like Srimati Radharani and the other gopis. This is really amazing. And your identity is there, but you've forgotten it. It's there right now. You know, Jeev Jago, as Lord Chaitanya says, Gore Chanda Bole, Kuta Nidra, Yomaya, Pisa Chira Kole, that wake up. Just like when you're sleeping, you forget who you are. I had one dream, and I dreamt that I was the cabinet member of Donald Trump in there. I did. I actually dreamt that like that. And then I woke up, and I discovered I was a Hare Krishna devotee. What a relief. At least I wasn't the press secretary. So we forget at night who we are. We have all these different dreams, and during the day we have a dream that lasts for 100 years, and after the dream then we go on for another dream, and after that dream we go on for another dream. So the chanting wakes us up. Hey, that's who I actually am. I'm not here in this world. I'm actually in the spiritual world, and this is my eternal, loving, ecstatic relationship with Krishna. Wow. And then you continue chanting because you love Krishna. I mean, if you love someone, you chant their name, right? Just like if any of you have seen this old musical West Side Story. Anyone seen it? There was one man, his name was Tony, not your husband. But he was always chanting the girl's name, you know, over and over, like Maria, 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 Maria. Yeah, you know, Joppa beads, and he was chanting Maria, Maria, you know, 64 rounds a day on his beads. So that's love, and Krishna's there. And imagine you can chant Krishna's name, and you're the person you love the most is with you. It doesn't work with your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, children like that. They're not with you. They're different than their name. Completely different. You can chant any material sound vibration and it's different from the object to which it refers. But you chant Krishna and your best friend is with you. Wow. That's pretty cool. Or nice. That's pretty nice, isn't it? Just think about that. Hare Krishna, my best friend. Wow. And not only is my best friend, but, you know, he's preserving. Ananyaschinte yanto mamya yijanakpa yupasate tesham nityubiyuktayam mam yogakshem vahamyam. He's carrying what I lack, preserving what I have, protecting me. Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam, save me, protect me. So, wow. Isn't that great? You're never separated from the person you love. So therefore, when you become completely Krishna conscious, then you want to chant more and more. That's why we say the sadhana, which means the practice is the same as the sajja, the result or the perfection or the goal. So this is really nice. So now that's a brief introduction. The first verse of the Shikshashika, I don't think we're going to get through the whole Shikshashika today, so we can continue next week. So the first verse of the Shikshashika, it basically is the introductory verse. It's the shraddha, the initial faith that one has, the interest that one has. Wow. Or, as they say in professional presentation, it's the whiffim. Does anyone know what a whiffim is? What's in it for me? Anybody who does professional presentations, first thing you learn is you tell people what's in it for you. You attend my presentation, you become rich, famous, handsome, all the girls will love you, all the men will love you. So, what will happen? That's the first one is the whiffin. You know, what you get out of this. So, then we'll go on to the second verse. We'll probably make it to two or three verses by the end. Anyway. Second verse, we'll all recite together. Nam nam akar hi bauda nija sarva shaktis tatrapita nimate smaranena kala etat vishita bhakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaye ramhi drashenaha jnanina anuraga. So this particular verse, let's go to the translation. This particular verse, first of all, glorifies all the Lord's holy names. Krishna has unlimited holy names. Oh, actually, we should read the translation. Forgot about that. I was giving my purport first. Let's read it together. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name, there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names like Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. So, as far as the holy names, Krishna has unlimited holy names. Of course, generally we're familiar with the Vishnu Sahasranama, the 1,000 principal names of Lord Vishnu. But they're unlimited names. But there are two types or two categories of names. Very interesting. One category is the direct name and then the indirect name. And I'll explain what I mean. Direct name means the personal name, like Krishna. Indirect means God's position. God. That's the name of God. Paramatma. These are all indirect names. So both of these names have potencies, and there's so much potency that even if you chant these names, not meaning the name, you get liberation. Wow. That's called Namabash. Even if you chant the names joking, like one time, or making fun of the devotees. One time there was a newspaper article, and the newspaper article was criticizing the Hare Krishna movement. Said, you Hare Krishnas, you always chant Hare Krishna. Why do you chant Hare Krishna? It's always the same Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada was shown this article, and the devotees were thinking Prabhupada get upset, and Prabhupada said, very nice article. They're chanting Hare Krishna. Another time, there was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Gadadhar Das, not Gadadhar Pandit, but it's a different personality. And he wanted to get the Muslim Qazi, that means the governor of that province, to chant Hare Krishna. So he was fearless. In the middle of the night, he just knocked on, not even knock on the door, he just went, barged into the Muslim's house. Don't you try that. I mean, it's been dangerous for a long time. So he barged in, and he said, you know, and this poor guy was wiping his eyes. Huh? Gadadhar, what are you doing here? And he said, I want you to chant Hare Krishna. He said, oh my God, what is this guy? And he said, the Qazi, he said, all right. Tomorrow I'll chant Hare Krishna. And Gadadhar said, Jai, Haribo, you already chanted. And so if someone chants accidentally, jokingly, derisively, whatever, you get liberation. But you don't get pure devotional service, but you get liberation. It is so powerful, the holy names. But as I said in the beginning of class, it depends on your mood and your attitude and the quality of your chanting, depending on what you get. But at least you get liberation. That's good, isn't it? But if you chant with quality, you get everything. It's just dependent. It's based upon how much you approach Krishna, the mood in which you approach Krishna, that's what you get. So those are the two types of names. So right now, some of us don't have too much attraction for chanting. Now when one first comes to the Krishna consciousness movement, then chanting, just about everybody has attraction. You know, wow, this is great. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, but then after a while, it's like, you know, 16 rounds, what do I get? Oh my God. It becomes a little harder. Now, there's a variety of reasons, but the primary reason explained here by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name. So there are 10 offenses. I'm not going to go through the list because that would be a whole class in and of itself. But the basic point of all those offenses is inattentive chanting. When you're chanting, you're thinking of something else, not focusing on the holy name. And the way you can focus on the holy name is remembering that Krishna is there in his holy name. Wow, gonna get a storm here. Careful, that door may slam with the wind in the back. So just keep an eye on it. So the and to remember the what you will get out of chanting the holy name, what your intention is, what your sankalpa is for chanting the holy name. Remain connected. And in this way, you can avoid offenses to the holy name, and then when you avoid offenses, you will have such a taste for chanting. And then taste for chanting also primarily comes from something we call sadhu sangha. That's the next stage of devotional service. Association with saintly persons. Because to have a taste for chanting, one needs to get something called the bhakti lata bij. For those of you who don't understand Sanskrit, that means a seed of devotion, a little seed. So that seed is given by Krishna's devotee. Krishna doesn't give that seed. It's given, so by the sadhu sangha means the association with saintly persons, one gets that seed. There's an interesting story about Narada Muni. Narada Muni, everybody knows, or most of you know Narada Muni. He's a great saint. He travels everywhere preaching Krishna consciousness, has a spiritual body, never gets old, never gets sick, and he gets to see Krishna. He goes to the spiritual world, material world, anywhere he wants. And he doesn't have to take an airplane. He doesn't have any frequent flyer miles either. So he's flying from one place to another preaching, and the way he got that is that when he was a kid in a previous birth, he was a little kid, 5 years old, and he associated with great devotees who stayed in a place where he was for 4 months, because it was rainy season, called the Chaturmasya period. And he got initiated by them, ate their remnants one time. He ate the remnants of their food. And then, after some trials and tribulations in that particular lifetime, he became the great Narada Muni. So that's how you get a taste for chanting. Association with great devotees, but association can work two ways. If you don't associate properly, if you don't have the right attitude, if you commit offenses against the great devotees, the association can diminish your taste for hearing and chanting. So this is the point of this particular verse, that if we associate with devotees, sadhu sangha, then we can get rid of the anartha nivritti, we can get rid of the unwanted things in our hearts, and get a taste for chanting. So 64 rounds is not enough. We can chant all day and night. Kirtaniya Siddhahari, which is actually very important. So, actually, we've been going for a while. So I think we'll stop here, because let's see how long we've been going for. What's the time? 5:25. I think, you know, we've spoken up, because if we give too much information in one class, it's going to be forgotten. So anyone have any questions about anything I said? We'll take some questions now. There's a microphone that Aditya is going to pass around. So what we're stressing is the importance of chanting the holy names, having the right attitude, associating with the right persons, what benefit we get from chanting the holy names. This should enthuse us in chanting more and more. So, questions? Yes. Come on, me. Yeah.
Do you know how that came about?
That we had, I don't know who did the other translation. I know Prabhupada did this translation. So, but the other translation is just as valid.
Yeah.
But this translation gives more of the internal mood, because it's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Amshalila, we find further description of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasting. He himself, he's God. This is one thing I didn't mention. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he wants to taste the devotion towards himself. So loving God is so blissful, so pleasurable, that even God hankers after it. Pretty good. And so Krishna, he takes the position of his greatest devotee, or the mood of his greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani, and he shows us, first of all, exoterically, shows us how to be a devotee, and esoterically, tastes that devotion. And he exhibits the topmost symptoms, emotional symptoms, which we will talk about later on in a future class, what's called bhavas, insofar as when he's tasting that devotion. So he's the example. It's like when God comes down, like a teacher, he says, class, how much is one and one? And he shows you how to add one and one. You got one apple and one apple. How many apples do you have, class? Three. We usually get it wrong first time. Two apples. And you take three apples and I eat one. And how many apples you got left? Anyone know? No. I guess it's above everybody's level. So God is doing that. He is so merciful. And that's another reason why Lord Chaitanya is called the most merciful, munificent incarnation. Because he's teaching us how to do bhakti. That is amazing. Hare Krishna. That's a symptom of ecstasy. Crying in ecstasy. Oh, Govinda. Feeling you separate. That's a further verse. So, anyway, so that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to teach us how to be a devotee. Amazing. How to have the right mood in chanting and praying. So any other questions or comments? Yes, Gopal.
So in the same verse, it says, first, that there's no hard and fast rules. And then at the end, Lord Chaitanya says, but I'm committing offenses. So how can there be offenses if there's no...
All right, let me explain. So Niyamena Tishtan is the Sanskrit. That means no time, place, and circumstance rules. Just like in reciting Vedic mantras, or any sankalpas, any sort of Vedic ceremony, you really have to consider what time of the month it is, what the star cycle is Saturn in the wrong place? I'll tell you one funny joke about Saturn. Once upon a time, someone went to an astrologer, and the astrologer said, "You have an affliction, afflicted Saturn. I can help you with it. You just give me 100 rupees." The guy said, "I don't have 100 rupees." And then the astrologer said, "All right, 50 rupees. I don't have 50 rupees. 10 rupees. I don't have 10 rupees. 1 rupee. I don't have 1 rupee." Then the astrologer said, "You have nothing to worry about. Saturn can't do anything to you. You have nothing." So, it's an interesting story, isn't it? True story. So when chanting the holy name, there are no like times that are considered auspicious or inauspicious, or places that are considered auspicious or inauspicious. For example, I'm traveling quite a bit, and as I mentioned, one time I was sitting next to someone who had been taking a bath for a long time, and I still chanted Hare Krishna. In fact, more enthusiastically. And it happens all the time. I'm in places where it would be considered impure. You wouldn't do a fire sacrifice with impure processes. I just wouldn't do it. And so, or just like if you have like a marriage, you always have to consider what is the auspicious time to make sure they stay together. Right? Or anything like that. But chanting Hare Krishna every time, place, and circumstance is auspicious. So no hard and fast rules of that type. But it's not a rule. It's a question of your attitude. Attitude is not a rule. I mean, you could say it's a rule, but it's not really a rule. Because Krishna is reciprocating with you. He's a person. He is a person. He has feelings. You ignore him, he ignores you. You serve him, he reciprocates. Okay? Just one other question. Yeah.
In relationship to the translations, I know if Hare or Hare was her question, and then I asked her a question, but what did Srila Prabhupada's master do? Did he do an exact translation of Hare?
Hare, it's Hare.
Or Hare, also
it's Hare. Hare, Hare. It's H-A-R-E. That's how you pronounce the Sanskrit. Hare is Radharani, calling out Radharani in the vocative sense. That means, oh, Radharani. So that's how Prabhupada translates.
So I should go Hare, Hare, not Hare, Hare.
You can go Hare, Hare. Someone's stealing. Someone's stealing.
Hare, Hare is not right.
And they go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But Krishna understands. I mean, the interesting thing about Krishna is he's a person. I was just listening to a Prabhupada memory. And Prabhupada was attempting to teach one particular devotee, his name was Jayananda, how to chant the Gayatri mantra. And, he said, "I have a question, how do you pronounce it?" And Prabhupada said, "This is the way you pronounce this." And he tried his best, and Prabhupada was roaring with laughter. He said, "You will never get it." He said, "But Krishna understands. So you try your best." Like if you're in a different country, you can't pronounce, let's say, Hare Krishna. Then Krishna will still understand. But try your best to pronounce it properly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's the correct pronunciation. Yes, Rishikesh. Yes.
I'm so impressed that I commit offenses.
Yeah.
Is he taking the humble position?
He's taking a humble position. Now, obviously, Krishna does not commit offenses. I mean, sometimes he offends Radharani, that's true. But that's a pastime. That's a deliberate offense. But no, Krishna doesn't commit any offenses against his own holy name. But he's taking our position, showing us how to think, and also showing his own humility. Because Krishna, when he becomes his greatest devotee, is humble. That's one of the factors we'll learn later on as we go through the Shikshashika in the Trinadapi Sutta verse.
In other words,
the
devotee will never agree that he has an attachment
to chanting? A pure devotee will say, basically, I don't have any attachment for chanting, right? Even though he's very attached. Lord Chaitanya said, if I was actually a devotee of Krishna, I would not be able to live. Just like if someone loves someone very much, I mean, how can they live without them after the person is not there? But Krishna is there in his holy name. So, I think that's it. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ki jai.